The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
The voice of the people. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
It is. We are in right before Thanksgiving and the imaginary Thanksgiving Day Parade. Morning, everyone. Wednesday, the 25th morning of November 2020. I'm Peter Boyle, along with the cast and crew. Billy Thorpe's back after a couple of days off. Pretty good looking day. 54 will be the high today. It's going to melt most of what's out there on the roads, but 19 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, 44 will be the high. Many, many things to talk about. Tom has the news, and good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Peter. Good morning to you. Governor Polis is once again warning people to spend Thanksgiving only with members of their same households. Meanwhile, Castle Rock is opposing COVID-level red restrictions and sent a letter to the governor saying the city will not enforce those restrictions. In Longmont, Mayor Brian Bagley asked the city council for a resolution making it unlawful for any person with the coronavirus and not living in the city to use a Longmont hospital. The resolution is aimed at areas not complying with the governor's emergency order, including specifically nearby Weld County. So we got county against county, city against state.
We can only hope.
Yes. This news sponsored by Audible. With the Audible holiday offer, you get the new all-you-can-listen plan, Audible Plus, for just $4.95 a month for your first 6 months. Listen without limit to select audiobooks and now podcasts. Go to audible.com. In an interview with NBC News, President-elect Joe Biden says one of his priorities is to present an immigration bill that would create a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million illegal immigrants. In addition, he plans to eliminate executive orders that President Trump made concerning the environment. Biden acknowledged what he wants to do will depend on what kind of cooperation he does or does not get from Congress. Americans have been lining up in historic numbers at food banks across the country as the pandemic impacts our lives. And meanwhile, Colorado Crisis Services is seeing a huge uptick in calls and texts for COVID-19-related help. Responders answered nearly 25,000 calls and texts last month, with top reasons for the calls, including suicidal thoughts, depression, and anxiety. President Trump is considering a pardon for his former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, according to multiple sources. Flynn pleaded guilty in 2017 to lying to the FBI, but has since tried to have the case thrown out after revelations of the FBI improperly obtaining surveillance warrants in the case. All 42 state parks in Colorado will be offering free admission Friday, promoting it as a way to enjoy the open air of Colorado's state parks. While admission fees will be waived, fees for camping and other activities will still be charged. In sports, former Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning and safety John Lynch are among semifinalists for the 2021 Hall of Fame class. European markets opened higher today following yesterday's rally on Wall Street. Asian markets closed mixed. It looks like Wall Street might take a rest on this day before Thanksgiving after yesterday's record-setting Dow. S&P futures are down 0.1%, Dow futures down 0.25%, but NASDAQ futures are up 0.2%. In advance of this morning's opening. And Pete, that's real news.
And morning, everyone. Wednesday morning, 25 of November Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, too. 44, it's just right for Thanksgiving. 46 on Friday. We will replay, I say we collectively, the radio station replays the parade again tomorrow, so it'll be a rerun. Those of you at home who missed it or simply can't get enough of the imaginary Thanksgiving Day parade, I was thinking, because of everything that's going on now in the country and the words that are used and the kind of verbs that are cast aside, we're going to reimagine, because everything now is reimagined. Uh-huh. We're going to reimagine the imaginary Thanksgiving Day parade. So because I have nothing else to do with my life anymore than go to the gym and go home and read, I went and read about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is what we base this on, started in 1924. There you go. Mm-hmm. But here's the list. This is what I thought was very cool. The hosts of the host of the real Thanksgiving Day Parade. Listen to these names. Really interesting. I thought some of Bud Palmer.
Yeah.
Betty White. Hmm. Lauren Green.
Really?
Yeah, Bonanza. Lauren Green.
Sure.
Kent McCord, there's a name. Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Ed McMahon hosted it. David Hartman, there's a name that came and went. David Hartman was a host. Helen Reddy. Wow. Uh-huh. Go figure. Helen Reddy. Hmm. Peter Marshall. Remember Peter Marshall was a game show host?
Oh, yes.
One of my true favorites, Della Reese.
Oh.
McLean Stevenson did it one year. Brian Gumbel did it. Regis Philbin did it. Pat Sajak did it. It was just amazing. Willard Scott, who I met. Willard Scott was a great guy. Really good to be around. Met Willard Scott. Mary Hart. Sandy Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
There's a name. Uh-huh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Deborah Norville. Matt Lauer. Mm. Gene, here's the good ones. Right, me, I think. Buffalo Bob did it.
Oh, really?
1955, the host of the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Mm. Buffalo Bob.
It's howdy doody time.
He was a disc jockey. He started out as a disc jockey. I did an interview with him once.
Uh-huh.
Disc jockey, Buffalo Bob Smith. Hugh Downs.
Uh-huh.
There's a great name.
Yeah.
Arlene Francis.
Yeah.
Ernie Kovacs.
Oh, man.
The Nairobi Trio.
Oh, yes.
Loved Ernie Kovacs.
Uh-huh.
David Brinkley did it. Bert Parks did it. Gene Rayburn did it. There's a name, Gene Rayburn. Bob Hope. Lindsay Nelson. So we're in big shoes here, buddy.
We are. The building that we lived in Central Park West, Ernie Kovacs lived in that building on the penthouse, and I guess he was
something.
Quite an event there.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. and we were talking that it was in that book, and I think the book about Empire, about how they built the CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great story because they're all contemporaries. Jackie Gleason. And Gleason's, alcoholic, as people knew. And so the bar they all hung out was this place called Twitch Shores,
which is
a legendary place.
Sure it is.
So Gleason is negotiating. And he has an attorney and an agent. And they're going to make a trip in, and they're going to sit down with all the execs. And Gleason is out all night. So they go into what was called Black Rock. And they sit down, and Gleason's in the chair, and all these different guys are in the room. Paley's in there. And Gleason goes to sleep. And Paley says to us, give him whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't care. He's sleeping in here. And he's got a deal someplace else. And it's because he's hung over.
Tooting.
And
he
hung around with all of those guys. Hung around with Ernie Kovacs and, all those guys. So the annual Thanksgiving Day Parade, our imaginary Thanksgiving Day Parade, I was asked yesterday, when did I start this? And I really can't tell you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just one of those, one year we decided to do it, years and years and years, and radio years, and that's like dog years,
I will say, though, you were dressed very fashionably for the Thanksgiving Parade.
Hoodie and
yes.
Not wearing shorts. And it's cold outside, but the parade lasts for 3 hours. And it's held in Manhattan, and we have a three-hour parade today. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we're doing all this right. 1924, store employees marched to Macy's Herald Square, the flagship store on 34th Street, dressed in costumes, floats, professional bands, live animals, borrowed from the Central Park Zoo. At the end of the parade, Santa Claus was welcomed to Herald Square and 34th Street, where he was crowned, there's a great one, the King of the Kitties. And an audience of over 250,000 people, the parade was such a success, Macy said we're going to do it. It's an annual event. That's pretty cool stuff. But this year, because of the mind of Billy Thorpe, we have celebrities.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, what a banner event.
Celebrities for me, I think, who are going to be entering floats into the parade this year.
Uh-huh.
And Billy's got a lineup of stars here. Done a great work. And so we have these celebrity floats this year, which ought to be a hoot. I don't know. Then this year, I guess they're going to do virtual. I don't know how you're going to do it, the virtual Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York. But here's one. And Billy just got, they just got back in town. They were gone for a couple of days. When does your tree go up?
It's up year-round, actually.
Is it? It never goes down.
I'm serious. My wife has made a season tree out of it. So every season, she changes the decorations.
That's cool. Yeah. So has it become Christmas yet?
Not yet.
So it's the fall tree.
It's the fall tree right now. But I believe it'll be the Christmas tree by Friday.
All right, Billy. When does the family unit – Billy's family's great. When do you guys put your tree up?
It is the day after Thanksgiving. And because everybody has the day off. And so what we do is we take down what are the fall decorations, which, you know, you'd basically, we put up the fall decorations at the same time the Halloween decorations. So after Halloween, all the skeletons go away, but pumpkins and everything else stay. So now we make a transition after Thanksgiving. And it's kind of, it's actually become a really, really nice family tradition is what we do is the day after Thanksgiving, everybody stays in their pajamas. We make hot cocoa. We turn on Christmas carols. And then we put the tree up.
You deck the halls.
And we do all sorts of little things, and in fact, I will pass along what is a great Christmas tradition that I would highly suggest anybody start, especially if you are on the cusp of starting your own family, and it's something that we borrowed from my parents, and we continue to do it to this day. And, you know, you have those glass ball ornaments, and they're all different colors. You know, you have green, blue, red, you can make all the different ones. We specifically use gold. We take those gold glass ball ornaments, and every year, you, as you're decorating the tree, at the very end, after you're done, everyone sits down and we grab a pencil and you write the name of the year, the date on the on the ball. So this year it's going to be 2020, and then you go around kind of as a group and you talk about all the significant things that happened that year, and you write it on the ball, and then it's hung on the Christmas tree. Then the rule is, again, as we are decorating the tree this year, anybody that is in the box, when you pull out a ball, you have to, you call out what year you have, and then you get to read all the significant things in the, on the ball, and then you hang it up. And so my wife and I were on our 23rd year of marriage, and so now we are going to have 23 balls on the tree this year. And it is fantastic because the kids are like, you know, the kids always pick it up like, this is the year I was born, and oh my gosh, this is the year that Katie fell down, and, you know, she had to go to the, you know, she went to the hospital, and she had stitches, and she asked that, and we have things like, you know, when my daughter, she fell and she hit her head, and she had to go to the doctor and get stitches, and she asked the doctor if she was going to stab her in the face because he had the... You know, he had the big, you know, the needle. Yeah, so she's like, you're going to stab me in the face? And so we have those little things. We have the things like memories where it's my youngest daughter. When she walks out of the bathroom when she's 3 years old, and I ask her, what are you doing? And she says, not drawing on the toilet. So we have little things like that, that, you know, so that they're memories that you have. So that's what we do.
This year... COVID.
This year it's going to be hard. I mean, there's normally, you know, you have like six or seven things that are really solid. And then you're kind of stretching.
This
year's
going to
be a mess.
This is the year we didn't go to school.
About school. I'm hearing they may be out till May.
I heard that too. So what is this year?
Well, this year
was COVID, Dad.
Yeah, it's COVID day. Yeah, that's what's going to be.
What is on the top? You know, my brother and I, we have these conversations.
We now have a star.
You have a star?
Yeah.
What do you...
I think a star.
I think a star?
I don't know, probably. No, I think she had an angel up there once. It's, you know, it's all Donna. You know, I love to hear Bill talk about his family. I wish I knew him, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Of course, he wasn't around, where he could tell me the way he does family. But I think it was on top of
If it was 40 years ago, he'd be some old man on radio today, too.
I know. Yeah. What a great...
My brother and I were talking, and it had a toilet paper tube.
Oh, that's great,
You could slide on
that's
the top
right.
of the tree.
That's right.
Because it was the only... Because you couldn't get... the holders are expensive, and they never work.
Yeah.
They never work.
Never work.
Toilet paper tube's fantastic.
Well, and it had an angel on it. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, where'd that come from? And we had no idea where it came from. But we always had that thing. When the tree goes up, the reason I'm saying is, years ago, when I was actually breaking into the business as a talk show host at a legendary radio station, KWBZ, that I'm trying to write about... And I was called, it was the mother of all battles, you know, to go work there. And you made your bones. But I always talked about aluminum trees. And as the way we grew up, I always thought that if you had an aluminum tree, you were rich. Mm. Rich guys.
And yeah. When I was a real little kid, that's what I thought, too. That was kind of the
yeah.
Yeah, you had the aluminum tree. And
the aluminum tree.
And there were a couple of people in the neighborhood that had those. And I'm like, ooh.
Bingo. And bubble lights.
Oh, yeah, the bubble lights.
Bubble lights are huge.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this woman, I was working at BZ. Berg was with us. And, I mean, all kinds of people. Woody Page was there. And she said, I have, and she was, you know, I'm saying elderly.
Yeah.
Probably younger than I am right now.
Yeah.
And said, I have a real aluminum Christmas tree, and I'd like you to have it. And I said, I would love to have it. And so I have a 1950s aluminum Christmas tree. I mean, for real, I do.
And I'm jealous. That is so
cool.
And
you use it?
Every year. Every year.
No kidding. Wow.
So for Halloween, I got this ghost guy that comes upstairs and sits in the house. And then I have this, my grandson called him a booger man.
Mm-hmm.
And the booger man hangs, you know, he's cool. So he's gone now. Yeah. Booger man's gone and the ghost is gone. But I got this big wreath and the aluminum Christmas tree. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Kids are going to cook.
Neat, yeah.
And I'll put up the tree. But so this is the year that we're hunting for. And I don't know if I'll ever get it because the coolest thing with aluminum Christmas trees, and, you know, those of you under the age of 47, I'm boring you, but there was a there was a lamp that you put on the floor, and there it had cells, and they were, yeah. And they were, one was blue, one was red, and right. One I think was gold, maybe.
Yeah, right.
And that sat behind the tree, and the heat of the lamp made this thing spin.
Mm.
And then the Christmas tree itself, aluminum Christmas trees, you could get these. You wound them. I know they were battery operated. I'm sure they weren't battery operated, but you plugged them in or you wound them up. And the tree would turn, and the lights would turn on the tree.
It slowly rotates, and yeah.
Well, first time I saw one of those.
Oh, yeah. How much money do you have to have a rotating Christmas tree?
And they were just like, they're
millionaires.
Tomorrow when I yank it out, and it was a company here in Denver that sold it to this lady, and I still has all the, has a pole, and then you put in the, they put the branches in, and it's an aluminum Christmas tree, and the first time I put it up, everybody went, what? You know, and now everybody's attached to it. Uh-huh. You know, when you die, who gets the tree? Yeah. I don't know. You guys can fight over it. But
that's why we keep our tree up, because I don't want to go through all of the things.
I loved it.
But I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
My dad, my brother had this. We figured it out. We've talked about it before that, you know, the tradition was the tree went up on Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
late.
Yeah.
And my brother figured out that was the cheapest trees were going to be.
Yeah.
like
that's
the old
very
man.
Smart. Yeah.
Oh, no. The old man. It was like, you know, on the tree lot down on Allegheny River Boulevard, you know, that tree is worthless the next day.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking yesterday about
smart.
A Christmas story. And
now, did you guys do, growing up, did you have live trees?
Yes. And, no.
Yeah?
No.
Well, I mean, we cut them down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
See, no, no.
We did live trees growing up as a kid, and as a tradition with my wife, we tried to do the live trees for a number of years, but there's a problem. I cannot grow anything. I mean, nothing. I mean, it's in fact, my wife and I joke, and she's a little bit better than I am, but not much. In fact, we joke that we leave dead plants around the house as a warning to other plants
may
enter, to say, no, this is a house of death. You need to leave now. And there was one year in which we figured, okay, I think it was the boys were real little, and we had gotten our tree a little bit early, and by the time we hit Christmas, we were afraid to turn on the lights because we thought it was just going to go up in flames.
No, listen.
And taking off every time you took off an ornament at the end, it's like all the needles would fall down to the ground. The thing was half naked by the time we put it out on the yard. And the very next day during the Black Friday sales, we went and we bought a fake tree. And that's all we have now.
Fake trees?
Yeah,
or,
we've got that. Because,
but also those things turn into hypodermic needles.
Yeah, they do.
Like you could shoot heroin with those things.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like that and then my dad was liked to gamble. And I don't know, he never had a lot of, but he had won a train. A Lionel, I still have it.
Hmm.
And it's from, I'm going to guess, 48. There's things called punch boards, and a lot of people, again, that's over everybody's head, sure. but did them in bars.
Uh-huh.
You could buy it, and they called them pickles sometimes or mm-hmm. punch boards. The old man wanted a train, wanted gambling.
Yeah.
And we still got that train, but he would put the train up, and then, you know, we had the, you know, the baby Jesus, and
yeah.
then you put the baby Jesus on the train, ride him around, you know, and the wise men and everybody, and then you make roadblocks in the train and smack him, and we always got along.
I still get in trouble in our house because there's a running joke in our house. We have three different nativity sets.
Oh, yeah.
But since I was a child, and I still do it to my wife, oh. I add things to the nativity set. I used to get in so
Always.
Much trouble with my mom because I would take things off the yeah, and then sit things. My favorite is we have, and I don't know
Put
where
hats
we got
on
it.
Them.
Oh, God, yeah. yeah. We have a Spider-Man that has got Ooh. A Santa hat on and
like
he has
it.
A Santa sack. And for whatever reason,
like
and
it.
It's an ornament, and he's kneeling. Yeah, Spider-Man visits every one of the nativity sets. And then my wife yells at me, Bill! And she goes and hangs it back up. But all
my
the time,
grandmother.
Yeah.
If you messed around with the nativity scene,
yeah.
my grandma would get mad.
We have a baby Yoda. I'll put baby Yoda in
there. Yoda, I like
yeah.
that.
I put that in the manger.
But we had like the, with the three wise men, shepherds. My brother and I were going over this yesterday. Like a sheep. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, none of that actually shows up until Francis of Assisi. Did you know that? Hmm. No one ever, there was in, here I am being loving history, but the appearance of animals in a nativity is only after Francis of Assisi. It mm-hmm. never was there before. It never played out in anything. But Francis brings all of these things around. Anyhow, so...
Oh, when you were talking about a train, I still have it at home, and it's one of the best gifts my father ever gave me. And I had to be 7 or 8 years old at the time. And Lego had come out with a train. So I have the first edition of the Lego train, and the stupid thing's in German. All the instructions, all the boxes in German, because he had to special order it from Germany to get it here. And it runs off of C batteries, but we still have it, and it still runs.
I have not put this train up, and it'll be my grandson's train someday, and I haven't done anything with it. I took the engine down to that lobby store. There's a train store. It used to be on South Broadway.
Right.
And went in and showed it to guys. I said, what's this really something? And I got the train. The locomotive, I got, like we just call it the coal car, then about 3 or 4 passenger cars, and then a flatbed.
Mm.
And apparently the flatbed, my brother said he remembered it used to do stuff. You could stop it and it would...
Yeah, it'd probably
it would unload logs or something. But
yeah, that's normally what they do.
I still have it. I got it in the boxes, you know, in the orange. I'm for real. I mean, I really got this stuff.
My dad's got he's collected trains, and in the basement he has probably about as big. It's probably twice the size of the desk that you guys are sitting at. It's a set of flatboard that he has, and it has, gosh, you can run three different trains on it at once. And he even has a lot of the old, you know, stations and houses and buildings. And he'll bring one of them up and put it around the Christmas tree at their house every year.
Exactly.
And he even has them where, you know, he has the smoke pellets where you put them into the chamber.
Course.
And the smoke as it goes around. And then you also can, you know, run the whistle. And it does.
And we'll go.
Yep, exactly.
And try to catch it. So,
yeah, exactly.
The old man had a tunnel.
Ooh.
And a tunnel. I don't know where they got this stuff, but it looked like a mountain. It kind of looked like the first tunnel when you're going skiing, you know.
Yeah.
And there it was. And, you know, you put that. I mean, it was big stuff. And I look back on it, and it was, you know, it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother and I, we were laughing about stuff. But the toilet paper tube with the angel, you know, and then somebody have to get a chair. Huh. You know, and stand on top.
Our angel committed suicide 1 year.
Well, they always do.
Yeah.
They always do.
We had from a very, very nice friend of the family, she had given us a really beautiful angel, and it was made out of porcelain. It was a glass of porcelain, but it was heavy, and it was on top of the tree. And every year, the angel was so heavy, it would lean at about a 40-degree angle. And then one year, we got a tree that was a little bit too small.
The
thing goes at about 50 degrees, and then something happened, and we just hear whoop, and then and it was broken.
We have a running gag. Mike Dunafin and myself and another close friend whose name will not be mentioned, where I say, you want to see an Irish Christmas? How many times the tree goes down? I'll show you Christmas. Remember, I'll show you Christmas.
You just reminded me of a story. My brother had to be about 9, so I had to be about 17 probably at the time, 18. My mom is having a couple of friends over from out of town, and she's gone to the airport to pick them up. My dad is doing dinner, and this is a couple of days before Christmas. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but my brother and I were obviously messing around. And we knocked over the Christmas tree.
Oh, of course.
And Mom was on the way home. We literally had picked up the tree and we were sweeping up the ornaments. We swept up. We watched the car pull up out in front and there was still broken ornaments on the ground. And so we literally cleaned up probably the time as they started coming up the stairs to the house. It's when we finished cleaning up and we all sat down and my mom walks in and looks at all of us like, why are you all sweating and out of breath a little bit? And then she looks over at the tree and she knows something's wrong, but she can't put everything together. And it wasn't until afterwards, after we had taken the family friends to the hotel, she came back and she goes, okay, what went on? And then we had to spill the beans. And she's like, seriously, all that? And yeah, I think my dad dumped the dustbin full of the last pieces of the glass ornaments into the trash as we were opening the front door. And he put it in the broom closet and walked out. I think that's how it happened. But it was that close.
I think the difference was when the tree went down, it wasn't the fault of the children.
Yeah.
That was a whole other mungambo, boy. I'll show you Christmas.
Yeah. My brother's got a story of partying with Kiefer Sutherland up in Seattle. Ran into him. And Kiefer's a drinker.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a huge Christmas tree in the lobby of the hotel bar. And because Kiefer had been on the radio show he's working on. And they're drinking. And Kiefer, for some reason, probably about 1:15, decides. He goes, bah! And he runs right at the tree, jumps, jumps right into the tree and latches on. And he's probably 5 feet into the tree. And he's like wrestling the tree.
Seen it happen.
Yeah.
Seen it happen.
Yeah.
Boy. It is. Anyhow, today is the Imaginary Thanksgiving Day Parade. And Billy Thorpe really put the shine on this one with celebrities, different people coming on the show. You'll be amazed who has signed up for this. And they will be adding floats. I already have. We've had somewhat of a debate on who the Grand Marshal will be this year. And who will be in the fleet. But we need to warn everybody that Jared Polis has put roadblocks already because they don't want people coming downtown.
Tragic.
And yeah. Between he and the mayor and Chief Pazin.
Oh, boy.
They've roadblocked much of the city.
Can't believe it.
They don't want you. Remember, because we'll move downtown at 6 o'clock to the reviewing stand.
Yes.
Daryl Luby's helping again this year along with Kenny Danan, but...
But did you hear also they've announced, it's unfortunate, but they've announced on Friday it's going to be the annual Antifa Anti-Black Friday sale.
Believe me when I tell you.
And so there's going to be a parade through downtown.
Floats,
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah, they're all setting that up.
They're ready to go.
Yeah. But, it's the anti-capitalism. Yeah.
Chief Pazin and the mayor and others will be, and the emperor himself will be keeping people from coming downtown the checkpoint. So be cautious. I just want to warn you now. You can always sneak in, but, you know, main arteries will be blocked off by... the emperor, and
The Friday, I've already seen the promotional items are handing out for the Friday, Antifa anti-capitalism parade.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Some of the promotional items are foam bricks, so you can practice throwing them at windows. Yes, they also have foam hammers, so you can walk around and pretend that you're, smashing windows and breaking into places. It's not to encourage.
It's going to happen.
It's just festive.
It's going to happen.
It's not because they're trying to be bad people.
All right, warm up, start to think it over. It's a Wednesday morning, November 25. Lines are open, 303-696-1971. We've been so intense. The radio show has been so intense for the last... I was telling somebody last night, they called, what are you going to do the parade? Oh, yeah, sure. I said, man, your show. And I said, you don't have to tell me. I was like, we know. But in New York City, the world's largest parade, in fact, was presented in this country. Parade started in 1924. Tommy and I were kids. Did you ever go to the parade in Rio, for real? Did you ever see the parade for real when you...
In New York?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Because you went back and forth.
Yeah, went back and forth between New York and Michigan.
Man,
Yeah.
But I never did. Did you ever go to a Christmas parade as a kid?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah,
the small town Michigan.
Yeah, they won in Verona.
Uh-huh.
And, and you couldn't see, all the adults in front of you. But then Santa Claus came. So we have Santa Claus this year. Daryl Luby generally plays Santa Claus in the parade, but this year it could be...
I tell you, Bill Rogan stopped into the newsroom, and he's preparing a float.
He's more than ready.
He's preparing
a
float.
More than ready.
I don't know if he's going to crash through those barriers.
He's on the line here.
Okay.
He ain't heavy. He's Bill Rogan.
Yeah.
All right. It is Wednesday morning, everyone. It's going to be a nice day, 54 the high today, and truly there's an art to putting together the perfect kitchen bathroom remodel. You want the best countertop wholesale pricing. Mitch Floria, Art of Granite, he's an expert, he's a craftsman. He can turn granite and quartz and marble and other materials into true works of art right in your home. Schedule a virtual consultation. This is a good guy. Mitch, you know, get it all rolling for after the first of the year. You can work on it now. 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. The website, artofgranite.com. Start dreaming about your new countertops. The granite from his own warehouse. So he's got wholesale prices, no markups. He's, I mean, a good guy. Grew up under Nicolae Ceaușescu. There's a guy. Mitch is the provides granite from his own warehouse and wholesale prices, no markups. You get the most for your budget. Mention the morning show and get a bathroom countertop free. Purchase fantastic new kitchen countertops. New kitchen or bathroom sinks free with a purchase of any countertop. Give Mitch a call, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. A million ways to do this. He'll make it all work. Artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
The Beatles. 710 KNUS on the imaginary Thanksgiving Day parade morning. The parade will step off smartly in about 23 minutes. We transport magically downtown to the reviewing stand that this year, as always, Kenny Dane and Mark Crowley helps this year. And the one and only, Daryl Luby, they build it, and we're ready to go. Wednesday morning, 54, will be a beautiful day for the parade. Kind of chilly now, 19 degrees will be tonight, and it jumps back around. Now, if you want to sneak something in before the parade, 303-696-1971 is the number. We will rerun. I say we collectively. The radio station runs this again tomorrow. Everybody takes the day off. A season for giving thanks. Dr. Julie McCallum, my list, my top of my list, literally changed my life. I'm an old guy, man. This was the year to become an old guy. Ready to focus on making the most of your life. Dr. McCallum, the doctors at Cenogenics can help. Getting older certainly can be a challenge, but take care of your body. Listen to the doctor. I get so many people, it's their resolution. They're going to go and they're going to begin with Dr. McCallum first of the year. Some very prominent names are going to begin. Getting older is awful. I'm not going to kid you. It's like, ugh. But you got no choice. You got to take care of yourself. Dr. McCallum helps. Metabolism, hormones, get balanced. You get healthy. You eat right. Listen to what the woman says. Call today and begin your journey back to health. You arrange this. Jackie answers the phone. You call 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. Jackie answers the phone. You arrange the free 20-minute phone call with the doctor. You talk with a doctor for 20 minutes for nothing. And she's the best. Denver.Cenogenics.com, Denver.Cenogenics.com. Call today. Get your life back, 720-387-3681. 303, and again, 303, and it's kind of slow before this parade starts, and it'll jam, 696-1971. So I think we've all fallen into this, or at least I've fallen into this trap. You leave the radio show. Go to the gym, work out, go home, and then read, and go to bed, and get up, and go to the radio show, and work out, and go home, and read. So if you listen to this show for any length of time, I am a huge George Orwell fan. And this is what political correctness is doing. The British Library now adds Orwell, Lord Byron, and Ted Hughes to their cultural figures, shame. Orwell, of course, Orwell's real name is Eric Arthur Blair. I think most Orwellians know that. Animal Farm, 1984. And so here's what they did. Honest to God. He had a great-grandfather who owned slaves in the Caribbean. Not Orwell. Not Orwell's grandfather. Not Orwell's father. But Orwell's great-grandfather. This is how witch hunting works. And I don't want to have any intensity this morning, but this I can't let this go by. And they're judging Orwell, the British Library, urging the white staff to support Black Lives Matter and Diane Abbott. And so the figures on the list are linked to slavery and imperialism by his great-grandfather. Ted Hughes, by the way, was a poet. They added him because he had an ancestor by the name of Nicholas Farah, who was born, listen to this, in 1592. And he was involved in settling the first British colonies in North America. You know why? The politically correct are now after Thanksgiving. And so he settled with the British colonies in North America hundreds of years before the birth of, obviously, before Ted Hughes' birth. But now he's connected to the slave trade. His books must be taken down. Now, they want Orwell's books down for a number of reasons. But how can you judge somebody like this? Byron was added because he had a great-grandfather who owned slaves and apparently had a slave-owning uncle by marriage. Oscar Wilde has been added because he had an uncle linked to slavery. Now the library is disinvesting, they say, because of supporting Black Lives Matter. There's this very bizarre labor leader by the name of Diane Abbott. And she's claimed that racism is a creation of white people and slavery is a creation of white people. What are they reading? What did these people read? Slavery, a creation of white people. Look, what have they read? I mean, and of all people to ban his book, Orwell, it is interesting because the movement itself of being anti-slavery comes out of Europe and the USA, and it was Christian white people. Seriously. Christian white people banned it for the first time in places like the UK. While it was still going on all through Middle East and Africa and Asia. And so why do they think this? Well, they think it because they have to say it. They have to say it so some young mind will connect to it. But to me, who is like an amateur history reader, the logic and the facts on these idiots is like hitting you on the head. You know, you want to run against the wall and go, what are these people doing? Getting rid of Orwell. And he is the great exposer of the self-serving wickedness, if that's the right word, of Marxist societies. And now they're calling it the corruption of your blood. That's the new politically correct term, corruption of your blood, that his great-great-great-grandfather. And this is so stupid. It's like this modern Bolshevik. They are modern Bolsheviks, but Orwell, Lord Byron, the list of shame. And I wonder if they keep the Quran, because you know the Quran, with respect, Muhammad was very much involved in slavery. But they won't add the Quran, will they? So, I don't know. I mean, you get more and more frightened all the time. But we're going to spend more time with this after this thing blows over. But I really wanted to talk about it. I mean, it was just when I'm reading it, you know, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. That's Orwell. We have always been at war. Remember when, and Orwell said it in 1984, and I used it in a column, every record had been destroyed or falsified. Every book had been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue, every street, every building has been renamed. We're watching this right now in our country as well as here in Denver. Every date has been altered. And the process continues day by day and minute by minute, Orwell said. History stops. Nothing exists except the endless present in which the party is always right. Orwell, 1984. Think about, they've taken down all the statues in downtown Denver, ripped down, tore down. Names are changing, park names are changing, mountain ranges are changing. And Orwell said this. I'll read it to you again. I brought it in this morning because it's part of what I think is so significant. When every record has been destroyed or falsified, when every book has been rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue, every street, and every building has been renamed, when every date has been altered, and that process continues day by day, minute by minute, then history stops. Nothing exists except the endless present in which the party is always right.
Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyles Show.
Better believe it. 5:51, 9 minutes before the kickoff of the imaginary Thanksgiving Day parade, which I really don't know how many years we've done this. It started, I can't even remember what radio station I was working on when we gassed this one, and then for well over certainly 20 years, we did it at KHOW with, and then we had all the crew part of the old days with the man with the doctor who was with us back then. Kenny Danan was there, and Daryl Luby, and myself, and everybody, and the old Sheik, and everybody. And it just moved, and it's morphed, and I think it's gotten better because we've learned more. And Billy Thorpe's got the con this year. We've already worked up a lot. And Billy added this year the celebrity versions of the parade, which ought to be really beauty. Remember, don't break kayfabe. 54 will be the I-44 tomorrow, and you got a vehicle. By the way, there'll be, I'm sure, numbers of homeless floats will be showing up this year. Matter of fact, you count on that, okay? The Marching Homeless Band, I'm sure, is tuning up, and they'll see all of that. Denver's Road Home, that will be spectacular this year. But you got a vehicle you're not using, you donate your car, your truck, your SUV, your Step Denver, you get a tax deduction, save somebody's life. Since 1983, Step Denver, when Bob Cote began this and helping guys out, you take all these vehicles and you take them in, call Vincent, 303-296-9020. 303-296-9020. They'll come pick them up if you can't get them in. They fix them up, tune them up, paint them up. Then they sell them in the private sector, and that's the money you get for a tax deduction. You save somebody's life. 303-296-9020. Visit stepdenver.org, stepdenver.org. All right, we're getting into Crowley Mobile, lights and sirens. We're on our way. Imaginary Thanksgiving Day Parade steps off smartly in about 7 minutes. Hold on your hats. Hang on.